From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man, we pick up where we ended on our previous broadcast and present more of an episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank is talking with Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne Lowe, authors of the new book, Renewing You, A Priest, A Psychologist, and A Plan. Well, let's now rejoin Hank and Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne Lowe in their conversation.
One of the most beautiful things I think that we have within the Orthodox tradition is confession, is this sacrament, as you've been mentioning. And for many people who are not part of a tradition, a Christian tradition that provides confession, I would just remind you, speaking of the book of James, where James speaks about confessing our sins to one another. So it's not foreign. This is not necessarily an Orthodox Christianity or a Catholic Christianity perspective on having confession. So in any tradition that you are part of, if you are tuning into the show, is I would encourage you that you have some sort of accountability. We would say, obviously, our spiritual father, some sort of accountability partner where you're able to take off the mask and be you and be real. And for many people journeying through their walk of faith, they don't have that kind of a person where they can kind of land on and say, this is what I'm struggling with, and this is what I need help with. And so in the Orthodox tradition, unlike some of the other Christian traditions, the emphasis on confession is almost a reminder, as is with every one of the sacraments, is this reminder of death to life. In other words, every sacrament is almost like a rebaptism in some ways. And I mean that it with, you know, obviously with quotations on it, is that not that we believe in being rebaptized, but it is this opportunity of almost dying to our old self to be renewed into our new self, to go back into the newness that God has created us. And confession is one of them. As a priest, I am very blessed and honored and humbled that I have many spiritual children, many people that come for me for confession. And I don't ask them for a litany of all their sins. That's not in the Orthodox tradition. That's not really what we're all about. Yes, we do talk and speak about that persistent sin that they go through. But it is a cleansing. It's almost like a taking a bath of the inside of the soul, where oftentimes we just simply ask the question, you know, hey, Nick, what is weighing heavy on your heart? That when you look at your life right now, what would you say is the one thing that you find yourself continuously falling prey to? And let's talk about that. And as you beautifully said earlier, Hank, confession is not to be a moment. It is a continual process because there's always things that are coming up against us. I myself go to confession. I myself need to have that renewal with a spiritual leader, a spiritual father. And so what confession does, and unfortunately many people don't have access because we allow pride in our egos, and it's natural, but it's unnatural in some ways as well, that we allow our egos to get in the way of saying that I need to be real, I need to be open, I need to get help. Because again, without having God at the center of our life and doing what St. James says to confess our sins to one another, you run the risk of always trying to self-help and self-medicate yourself, whereas in oftentimes we need each other. We live in a community and we need each other to guide each other through it.
And maybe you're the perfect person to sort of augment this by dispelling sort of a false notion that a lot of people have about confession. Your confession isn't to a priest. Your confession is to God, and the priest is there as a counselor. Is that correct?
Exactly correct. Exactly right. Having that person who you can simply say, actually the priest doesn't say much other than he allows the person to simply stand shoulder to shoulder. We don't have a screen that separates us because, again, that physical space of us saying, you know what, we're in the same spiritual hospital. We're in this together. And having that person confess their sins to Christ, but also getting that spiritual wisdom. You know, if you break your arm, you don't simply pray that that arm's going to get better. You know, you lean on the doctor to help, you know, adjust it and to get it to back to where it needs to be in the same way as how we approach confession.
What's the significance of liturgy for fulfilling our vision? I mean, when I became Orthodox, I recognized that there was a liturgical calendar. And so you're always looking forward to something in the year. And that repetition seems to be part and parcel of the process of renewal.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, the beautiful thing about liturgy, which I'm sure many of your listeners already know this, is that the word liturgy means work of the people. So in our liturgy, we're not necessarily coming to church to get a performance or just being entertained, but there is this notion that I'm coming to work, and then not only am I coming to work, but I'm also going to get my homework assignment, that there is a liturgy that exists after the liturgy. And so when we come to church, in the Orthodox tradition, we talk about this being a personal prayer and communal prayer. Our liturgies on Sunday is everything is said in the plural, with the exception of what we call the creed. And the original translation of the creed was actually said in plural. Over time, they adjusted that to be more of a personal prayer. But our point, Hank, is that when people are coming to church on a Sunday morning, we are praying as a family. That we are together praying for the peace of this world. That we as a family are praying for a Christian end to all of our lives. That we as a family are praying for the sick, the suffering, those who are afflicted. We're praying for all of those who have been impacted by the COVID virus, those on the front lines. And that we together and collectively are doing that. And then ultimately, as you all know, is that the climax of the liturgy is receiving the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Just like he said at the In today's translation, we call it the Last Supper. In the Orthodox tradition, we call it the Mystical Supper. But at that, where he says, take, eat, this is my body, which has been broken for you. This is my blood, which has been shed for you. So in many ways, the sermon is more of a, you know, just an add-on, but the liturgy itself empowers us and gives us the spiritual tools for that self-reflection, that vision, and ultimately for that renewal, so that we can go back out and attempt ourselves to renew the world. I mean, that's where that purpose comes in. That's the liturgy after the liturgy.
When you emphasize, this is my body, this is my blood. So we're talking about the pure body and the precious blood of our Lord. Is there a way of describing that that's better than saying the real presence of Christ? Or do you think that phrase is probably as good as any phrase to codify the fact that this is truly the body and blood of Jesus Christ? How this can be, we cannot say any more than we can say how Christ can be one person with two natures. It's a mystery.
Exactly. It is a mystery. And, you know, in the Orthodox tradition, what we hope that we're doing and we pray that we are doing is being, you know, as authentic to the original, as James says, to be authentic Christians, is that we are being to the most authentic to the teachings and how the early disciples worshiped. And when we research unbiasedly the way in which the early Christian disciples and their followers worshiped, it centered around the receiving of the Eucharist. That was the climax of the service. That, as we all know, that the Bible does not just kind of come from the heavens down to planet Earth. It takes time. Some of the books are written years and years and years following Pentecost. But one thing was for sure is that gathering around the receiving of the Last Supper or the body and the blood of Christ was central to their worship. And that's for us as paramount, is trying to be as best we can the authentic way of worshiping the way that his disciples did. And that's why he says, do this in remembrance of me. And I'll just make one side note too, Hank, and I'm sure many of your listeners, because I'm actually a huge fan of your show. I love the emphasis on the scriptures, and I love how St. Paul tells all of us, stand firm to the written tradition, as well as, and this is sometimes people don't remember, is the, well as the oral tradition that has been passed down. So there is this written tradition. We call, obviously, the scriptures are one of those written traditions. We have also other writings, the Didache and other areas, other foundational early references that share the life of Christ, but also his teachings. But it also there also is an oral tradition. There was a tradition that was passed down orally that people followed. And I think it's important that we as Christians remember that everything is not just in one area, that God, you know, uses so many different avenues to share his light and his grace.
That's absolutely true. Dr. Roxanne, I have a question about this whole notion of settling for mediocrity. This is something that so many people do. They're mediocre because they're willing to settle. Instead of soaring, they're settling. Can you give us a sense of how to break through that particular barrier?
Sure. And we actually have two chapters that we wrote strictly about this that we deleted from the book because it was simply too large. But, you know, there's a lot of reasons why people settle. And I think it's important to sort of look at the psychology of why. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think people sort of settle because, you know, they don't want to be better. But most of the time it's because they don't understand why they're failing or why they're struggling. And they don't then go beyond that to actually get the tools to help. And, you know, we're taught in this world to chase the wind a lot. You know, we work a lot, but without good cause, without good purpose. And we're taught what happiness is, but that's not really what it is. And so a lot of times we're given the wrong message about why we should work in this world, and people feel lazy. You know, they don't want to work hard. And it's interesting. I mean, we're even seeing a major paradigm shift, I would say, in churches across the country, where, you know, no longer is this sort of reverence and, you know, focus within to sort of connect in reverence to Christ and in almost, you know, listening to simple music and to be praying along. There is a performance nature of churches across the world now that are really about, I would say, not making it less work for the person, but yeah, it's got to be really exciting for someone to attend church now. It's got to be, you've got to work for me or else I'm not going, you know?
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne Lowe. Are you seeking renewal in your life during these uncertain days? Hank Hanegraaff highly recommends reading Renewing You, A Priest, A Psychologist, and A Plan. Drawing deeply from Scripture and the wisdom of the ancient church, Renewing You will equip you to grow in relationship with the lover of your soul, expel guilt, receive peace, nurture life and personal relationships, and aspire to spiritual and emotional maturity for the greater benefit of the kingdom of God. To receive your copy of Renewing You, A Priest, A Psychologist, and A Plan, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or you can visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.
If you found the last year challenging, you're not alone. In fact, millions believe that this last year has been the most brutal year of their lives. Nonstop news of COVID-19's devastation, coupled with our deepening culture wars, has wreaked havoc on our world. Sadly, many have surrendered to a life of settling when we should be soaring, resigning when we should be renewing. That's why Renewing You, A Priest, A Psychologist, and A Plan couldn't be more timely. Written by a husband and wife, the husband a priest and the wife a psychologist, Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne Lowe provide a plan for personal renewal in these challenging times. To receive your copy of Renewing You, A Priest, A Psychologist, and A Plan, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable.
Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Do you want to live a visionary life of intention and meaning? Do you want to live in Christ with a sense of purpose and peace? Most of us will answer yes. And yet, rather than soaring to spiritual heights, we often remain grounded, emotionally and spiritually stuck in our harmful habits and attitudes. Written by a husband and wife, the husband a priest and wife a psychologist, Renewing You, a Priest, a Psychologist, and a Plan, is a path to personal renewal needed by many in this difficult moment. To receive your copy of Renewing You, a Priest, a Psychologist, and a Plan by Father Nicholas Lowe and Dr. Roxanne Lowe, just give us a call at 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. Well, let's rejoin Bible Answer Man host Hank Hanegraaff and his guests, Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne Lowe, in their conversation.
It's interesting. I mean, we're even seeing a major paradigm shift, I would say, in churches across the country, where, you know, no longer is this sort of reverence and, you know, focus within to sort of connect in reverence to Christ and, you know, listening to simple music and to be praying along. There is a performance nature of churches across the world now that are really about, I would say, not making it less work for the person, but yeah, it's got to be really exciting for someone to attend church now. It's got to be, you've got to work for me or else I'm not going, you know? And I have a lot of kids tell me that today, you know, they don't want to go unless it's super exciting or it's, and it's almost, you know, for me, that's so opposite of what I see churches. That is my time to do the work, to be in church, to reflect on myself. I don't necessarily really want to be entertained. I want to be reflective. And so it's just different. And I think what we're taught from the world is that is the way we should live our life. It should be simple. It should be easy. Anything too hard's not worth it. Why are you doing it? There's an easier way. And everything is about finding an easier way. Mm-hmm. So I think the reason why people settle is because that's the world that we live in. It kind of couches everything in simple reward-based pleasures and very little work of the people. And life is work. I think it's about work that leads us somewhere better, that is truly renewing and that breeds true joy, true purpose, and true fulfillment. And that's what we're all seeking, right? Is to sort of actualize ourselves in purpose, not in just baseline levels of happiness that feel empty.
And so often we want immediate gratification, don't we?
Yes, very much so. Very much so.
Yeah, and a point that you make in the book is that we're afraid of failure, and therefore we settle.
Yes. Right. We are afraid of failure. We haven't been designed to look at failure as a good thing. Actually, even from the time of children being young, they're taught that failure is bad, right? You're either in the gifted class or you're in the regular class. This is either already in you or it's not. We're not taught to have a growth mindset. And there's phenomenal books written about this by psychologists across the country. There's psychologist Carol Dweck at Stanford who's written an amazing book about the growth mindset, but really learning to look at failure as an important step in the chapter of success, that if you don't fail at what you're doing, you're not trying, right? Mm-hmm. You're never going to get where you want to be.
Right.
And so our book is about constantly studying our failures and constantly seeking the tools to improve so that every day we're getting a little bit closer to living life more closely as he's wanted us to. So, you know, failure is unfortunately not talked about, especially in our country, in a way that allows people to want to grow through it. Mm-hmm. They want to avoid it. Mm-hmm. Because that's something bad about me, not bad about the process.
There's an epigraph for chapter 2 of the book that I'm looking at, which really caught my attention. Elder Thaddeus, who says, "Our life depends on the kind of thoughts we nurture." I can't quote the whole of the quote, but it's worth looking at. If our thoughts are peaceful, he said, then that's what our life is like. If our attention is turned to the circumstances in which we live, then we can have neither peace nor tranquility.
Absolutely. I mean, right. I mean, we hear in 2 Corinthians the importance of bringing every single thought into captivity and bringing it into the obedience of Christ. Mm-hmm. And the idea here is really about discernment. Again, being mindful of our thoughts before they impact our choices. Because again, what we think is so powerful in affecting the way we relate to people. You know, think about it. If you don't notice judgment, if you don't notice intolerance, if you don't notice lack of compassion, it's really hard to sort of catch anything and redirect or repent and change direction and move in a different direction. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, the mind chapter is probably pivotal for almost, I would say, Nick, wouldn't you say the foundation of the entire book?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you say without self-awareness and inner reflection, we risk reducing our faith to mere statements of belief. And that's something that I alluded to earlier. And I'd love for both of you to weigh in on this notion that I was talking about, that it's a mistake with respect to the psychology of the human being that we just need a head full of vital truths, mm-hmm. and then we're left with a body unable to fend off sin. So I'd really like to get into the nature of spiritual disciplines and the importance of those disciplines to changing our behavior. If you don't discipline yourself to prayer, if you don't mm-hmm. discipline yourself to almsgiving, if you don't discipline yourself to fasting, you can have a head full of knowledge, but nothing really changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the word discipline, too, I think is such an important mm-hmm. word. It does require a considerable amount of discipline. Anyone who's ever tried to read the Bible in a year knows what discipline is required. Anyone who's ever developed a morning routine of devotions or stillness and who struggles with getting mm-hmm. a text message and then suddenly it's been an hour and I've gotten away from my morning routine knows it does require a level of discipline and discomfort, I would say. It's not comfortable to avoid the immediate gratification of seeking or checking our emails or mm-hmm. doing whatever it is that we need to do. But, you know, one of the things that we found when we were, I would say, in a tough season of our own lives, and we talk about it quite a bit in the book, was the importance of staying connected to God was such a strong realization. It became not a luxury, but a necessity of stillness. We mm-hmm. had to seek that stillness in order to hear his voice. You're in a different place. It's as if the world is slowing down inside of you, but everything outside of you is going very fast. And you almost have to sort of find that same speed of life outside yourself and seeking stillness. But that became a discipline of reading scripture every day, of creating a morning routine that allowed our day to start with some level of peace. Because if not, we found ourselves in, I don't know what you'd call it, like a dark hole, like a whirlwind of worry and anxiety. Mm-hmm. And the body physiologically meets you where your mind is. And so it's just, you feel panic. Mm-hmm. And so the discipline of seeking that in the mornings, I would say, and all throughout the day, we learn to walk a lot as Christ walked constantly. One of the things that we found in our pilgrimage to Jerusalem was how often Christ left the walls of the city and just existed on a mountain. He sat, he walked, he sought solitude. He was constantly mm-hmm. seeking stillness. And so I think the discipline around seeking that, and it does require discipline, but it's profound in terms of transforming what we feel in the body to mm-hmm. becoming something more aligned with the peace that he's seeking to give us.
Yeah, and I would just add to that, Hank, that it's so important that we realize that we worship a speaking God, a God who yearns to speak to us all. And I oftentimes tell our community, and we share this in the book, that God does not have a speaking problem, but we have a hearing problem because we are so inundated with so many different voices, so many different things that are consuming us, whether it be tasks that we have to do, responsibilities that we have to do, work, our children, even our own negative self-talk that goes through our minds. And all of these things literally have a volume switch in our mind. And I think it's, as we read in the book of Revelations, Christ stands at the door. And we don't worship a God that's going to barge down the doors of our heart. He right. simply just knocks. And he knocks and he yearns for us to listen to him because he has something to say. But you'll never be able to hear them if we're not seeking, as Roxanne said, that discipline, that stillness. And so if you're someone out there that's saying, God, I need God's wisdom or I need God's guidance on this, then we would say that, you know, there's never a perfect answer to any of these things, but I would say to start with that discipline of stillness, like trying to calm everything around you. That's what's so beautiful about Lent. You know, another aspect of that so beautiful, Hank, as you know, is that it allows us to, like the church says, we're not going to depend on you to know how to stop yourselves or to slow down in these 40 days. So we're going to actually insert a season. We're going to call it Great Lent. and we're going to have you just insert a time for you to simply be still. And we hear that obviously in one of the Ten Commandments is honor the Sabbath. And the word Sabbath literally means to stop, to cease. So we need that ceasing and that discipline of stopping so that we can also to seek that stillness so that we can hear, you know, God's instructions for us in our lives.
One of the things I love about your book is there are sections of the book that are so simple to apply. So, for example, you have a first 15 method. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people think, well, that's kind of trite. 5 minutes to read the Bible, 5 minutes to pray, 5 minutes to read books that can help you grow in your faith. And people say, 15 minutes, my goodness, you could set a bigger or a higher bar than that. And yet, I love this because I've been teaching people for years and years and years to set small, attainable goals. Mm-hmm. If you set small, attainable goals, you can build on it. But if you set the bar way too high, oftentimes you never get started.
Well, we've run out of time for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be sure to tune in again next time when we'll continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne Lowe, authors of the new book, Renewing You, A Priest, A Psychologist, and A Plan. Our daily commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you a copy of Renewing You, A Priest, A Psychologist, and A Plan. Call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website, equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more.
Do you want to live a visionary life of purpose and meaning? Do you want to live in Christ with a sense of purpose and peace? Most of us will answer yes. And yet, rather than soaring to spiritual heights, we often remain grounded, emotionally and spiritually stuck in our harmful habits and attitudes, finding ourselves repeatedly wingless and unable to take flight. Written by a husband and wife, the husband a priest and wife a psychologist, Renewing You, A Priest, A Psychologist, and A Plan is a path to personal renewal needed by many in this moment. To receive your copy of Renewing You, A Priest, A Psychologist, and A Plan by Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne Lowe, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.